path with you, and that he is watching over you because he loves you. So you're not on your own this morning. Christmas can be a very lonely place for many people. But the comfort of being in a relationship with God is that you are not on your own, that you have one that has been given to you. His name is the Holy Spirit. He's often called the Comforter, and part of his role is to comfort you. And may you know the comfort of God as you're here this morning. This morning, I'm going to speak on a topic called change. And it's based on a small story found in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. And it's all based around the call of Elisha. And so the word of God reads, "So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. 'Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye,' he said, 'and then I will come with you.' 'Go back,' Elijah replied. 'What have I done to you?' So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant." May God bless us this morning. This morning, I'd like to talk on a particular subject, and that subject is called change. You know, and I know, that change happens. Change takes place. If you have followed the Lord for some time, you will have experienced some kind of change. Change happens in the past. It's probably happening now to some of you. And you're almost guaranteed that at some point in the future, you will experience some kind of change in your life. This story is all based around change. A change is taking place in a particular person's life. Elisha is becoming the new prophet. Elijah places his cloak around him, which symbolizes that a change is taking place. And one of the things that you'll know is that people respond differently to change. Some people, yeah, they like change, they can cope with change. Other people find it a little bit more difficult. And you may have heard me say before that people responding to change is a little bit like going to the swimming pool when you were a young boy or a young girl. Have you ever been to the swimming pool? You see, when you go to the swimming pool, there are those who run and they jump straight in. It's called a bomb. Have you ever done a bomb? That is, you jump straight into the waters. And so some people respond to change like that. That is, what they do is they run and they jump straight in. There's no fear about the change that's taken place. They're competent of swimming in the waters of change, and so they dive, they jump straight in. For others, it's different. What they do is they get their swimming togs on, they go to the swimming pool, and they sit on the side of the swimming pool, and they begin to paddle their feet in the waters. And they're afraid of getting in. They don't have the confidence to jump straight in and do a bomb or dive. So they sit on the side of the pool and they dip their feet in the waters. And then what happens is, as they see others in the pool, they begin to slowly dip themselves into the waters. And then when they're in the waters, they find their feet. And they're like, yes, I'm in now. I'm in the waters of change. And so that's for some people, When change takes place in their life, they're like somebody who sits on the side of a swimming pool, and over time they slowly lower themselves into the waters where they're present with the others. And then for others, they don't put on their swimming togs at all. They go to the swimming pool, but they say, I'm not getting in for no one. I'm not getting in that waters. I'm not going to sit on the side of the pool. No, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to watch everybody, but I'm not getting in. I'm not going swimming today. And so, for some people, when change takes place in their life, they feel they don't want it. They don't like it. And so, they stick their heels in the ground. They say, no, I'm not going swimming. And so, it's different for different people. When change takes place in your life, we respond in different ways. But when a change was taking place in the life of Elisha, he was a person who dived straight in. He had no fear. He says, no, I'm going to embrace this change. And so, it's all about change this morning. Change happens. Change takes place. And as I read that story, there are four small, brief points that I want to share with you under the umbrella of change. Will you come on a journey with me this morning? You will, yeah, thanks very much. Here we go. Okay, point number one, it's found in verse 21. And Elisha said to Elijah, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I'll come with you. You see, the first point of change is that you have to say goodbye. Elisha, he had to say goodbye. He says, I recognize that a change is taking place in my life, and so first, allow me to say goodbye. I have to say goodbye. And see, when a change takes place, it may require you or me, the people of God, to say goodbye. I remember, I lived in Wales for 11 years, and my wife and I, we decided to come back to Ireland, and on the last day, we packed up all our things, we got into the car, and as we were driving away, I turned to my wife, and she was in floods of tears. And I says, what's the matter? She says, Alan, I'm saying goodbye to the house. And for me, it didn't really have that connection. For me, it was all about entering into the future and expecting what God had for me. But for her, it was so traumatic and so tearful. She found saying goodbye difficult because she knew that this particular season had come to an end in our lives. And so therefore, when a change is taking place in the lives of God's people, it may require you to say goodbye, but saying goodbye is difficult. It's not easy to say goodbye. Have you ever said goodbye to somebody? You say, oh, I just want you to stay. You see, in this particular story, Elisha, he went to his father and mother. Father and mother, that's family. And can you picture him going to his mother and father and saying, goodbye, I have to go now because God is taking me on another journey. He's taking me in a different direction. And I wouldn't be surprised if his mother and father says, no, you got to stay. I want you to stay. Please stay. Don't leave us. Stay. And so family have a voice into our lives that no others have. You see, because of the relationship of family, we have emotional attachment. And so therefore, it's always going to be more difficult to say goodbye to family than it would be to say goodbye to a friend. It's always going to be more difficult to say goodbye to family than it would be to say goodbye to a stranger or to a house or to a place or to a thing because of the attachment of the relationship that we have with family. It's difficult to say goodbye. And so the first point under the heading of change, when God brings about a change in people's lives, it is that you may have to say goodbye, just like Elisha had to say goodbye. But as you say goodbye, you're also saying hello. Because what you're doing is you're saying, hello, Lord, I'm ready. Bring it in. Bring it on. I welcome that which you're bringing into my life. I recognize that a change has taken place in my life. And so therefore, I am building up the courage to say goodbye to those who I need to say goodbye to. But I'm also saying, hello, Lord, I welcome whatever it is that you're bringing into my life. And so therefore, you're not only saying goodbye, but you're also saying hello. You're saying hello to the will of God and to the plans and the purposes of God for your life. And so, point number one, it's time to say goodbye. Point number two is called set up. Elijah went to him and threw his cloak around him, which is verse 19. This was symbolic that a divine change was taking place. You see, Elijah had been the prophet. He had been the man. We have explored him in Mount Carmel. We've seen him do mighty things for God. But the Lord had specifically told Elijah to anoint Elisha as the new prophet. And so when he placed the cloak over him, this was symbolic of a change that was taking place. And this particular change that was taking place had originated in heaven. That is, that God, the Lord, was the one who says, this is what I want you to do. And so therefore, when Elijah went to Elisha, he didn't just go off his own back. It wasn't something that Elijah drew up in his own mind. No, he had been commanded by the Lord. And so therefore, the Lord was setting Elisha up. He was setting him up for what he was going to do on behalf of God. And so the Lord set him up. He set the scene. He set the time. He set the situation. He set his people. He set it all up so that when Elijah went to Elisha, the change would take place. You see, God is in the God of setting his people up. He sets you up for what he calls you for. It's not by coincidence. It's not just by that it's just going to happen. No, the Lord your God is a God who sets his people up for that which he calls them to. I remember a few years ago reading a book. I think the author was a guy called Charles Swindoll. And it was a book on the life of Joseph. I love the story of Joseph. Because in that book that I read, the author was talking about that Joseph was a man who experienced setback after setback. And do you remember the story of Joseph? He had a dream given by God, and when he went to his family, he thought it was wonderful, and it was wonderful, but he had a setback. His family turned against him. And then he found himself in prison, and he met somebody in prison, and he thought that the person that he met in prison was going to help him to get out when he got out. But no, he had another setback. And then he found himself serving in a leader's house, and this woman came to him and accused him of things that he didn't do, and then he experienced another setback. You see, Joseph, if you examine the life of Joseph, he had setback after setback after setback. But in this book, the author said that actually what was taking place, that when he was experiencing setbacks, God was working in the midst in order to set him up for that which he was calling him to. So therefore, when you have a setback in your life, when you think, oh no, I've had another setback, I was trying to move forward, but things have all turned a little bit sour, it may very well be the case that God is working in the midst in order to set you up for what he's called you for. So therefore, don't be quick to label something a setback, because it might very well be a setting up of God working in the midst of your life. And so it was in Elisha's life. He could have easily said, oh no, this is the wrong time. Leave me. I just want to stay working in the field. Leave me alone. But no, God was setting him up. And so God is the one who sets you and me up for the things that he calls us for. Point number two is set up. Point number three. It says that he burned the ploughing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people. And they ate, which is verse 21. He set fire to the equipment. And can you visualize in your mind the man with the plowing equipment, and he decides to set it on fire? He gets the wood of the plow and brings it to a particular place, and he sets it on fire. And when I was thinking about that, it actually reminded me of an old friend of mine. His name is Alex. And Alex was what you would call a football hooligan. He used to go to football matches, and he would go there not for the enjoyment of enjoying the game, but he would go there for fights. He was part of gangs where one crowd would fight against another crowd. And long story short, Alex came to the Lord and was saved. The other thing about Alex's life was that he was a great lover of heavy metal rock music. He had a collection of music that was just so vast. And actually what happened was, when he came to the Lord, he felt that his heavy metal rock music wasn't really compatible with the new life that he now had in Christ. And many years ago, about 20 years ago, I remember Alex. He got all of his vinyl, he got all of his tapes, he got all of his CDs of heavy metal rock music. And because he felt it wasn't compatible with the life that he now had of faith in Christ, he gathered it all in a particular place and he set fire to it. And I was there that day. He was there, and there were some others that day. And I think others asked him, I can't remember if I asked him, others asked him, why did you do that? And he says, he did it because, number one, he felt that this part of his life wasn't compatible with where he was now. Number two, he felt that it was an act of worship to God. But it was also an acknowledgement of, this part of my life is over. And so therefore, he wanted to mark that it was over and deepen his own faith and his own relationship with God. And so he set fire to all the music that day. And when I read this story of Elisha setting fire to the plowing equipment, what he was doing really was, he was setting fire and he was openly acknowledging to himself, he was acknowledging to the Lord, and he was acknowledging to the people that were there that day, that this part of my life, plowing, is now over. And so as an act of worship, and in the openness of everybody that was there that day, he set fire to the plowing equipment. It's over. No more plowing for Elijah. No more in the field. No more oxen. No more of that, because it's now over. He's now entering into something new that God is bringing down the line for him. He now has a new path and a new season. And so therefore, when he set fire to the plowing equipment, he's saying, it's over. It's over. This part of my life is over. I'm now not working in this field anymore. And if he didn't do that, imagine he tried to do something different. Imagine he tried to keep the plowing equipment and follow Elijah at the same time. And Elijah would probably turn around and say, what are you doing? What are you bringing all this stuff for? You can't bring that with you. We're on a different journey now. You've got to leave that plowing equipment behind you. So it wouldn't have been very long if he had to try to bring it with him, that Elijah would have turned around to him and said, you can't take that with you. You're on a different path now. And so therefore, when God brings about a change in our lives, there are times when we have to say goodbye. There is also that sense that God is setting us up, but it's also a sense of, what is it that I need to set fire to symbolically by faith to say, this part of my life is now over. The season has now come to an end. And so it was in the life of Elisha. Plowing, it's over. And so point number four, to bring it all together. Point number four says, then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. He set out. He set out. He said goodbye to his mother and his father. He's probably said goodbye to all the people in the town. He's burned the equipment. He's done all of these things. He has this sense that God is bringing about a change in his life. And so therefore he sets out. He takes that first step of following Elijah upon the road and upon the path. The reason why I have a picture of footsteps is because that's all about following, isn't it? When you follow somebody, you're walking in their footsteps. When you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ and you declare to him and you declare to yourself that I'm going to follow you, what you're saying is I'm going to walk in your footsteps. Wherever you place your feet, I'm going to place my foot. If you place a left foot, I'll place my left foot. If you place your right foot, I'll place my right foot. And so therefore, this is the act of following. It is walking in the footsteps of the one that you're following. And so it was for Elisha. He was setting out. He was taking that first step. He was fixing his eyes on Elijah and he says, I'm going to follow you. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I've set my heart to do. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk in your footsteps. I'm going to follow you wherever you may go. But not only am I going to follow you, but I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. That's what I'm going to do. That's what my heart tells me to do. So what is it that you would have me do? He may have asked that question to Elijah. What would you like me to do? How can I serve you today? When I think of that, I think about our faith in Christ. We are called to follow him. To fix your eyes on the one and the only, that is the Messiah, that is the Christ. To say to Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you may go. And so wherever you walk, I will walk. But it's not only an act of following, it's an act of serving. I'm going to serve you. Show me how to serve you. To serve you in humility. To serve you in love. To serve you in hope. To serve you in faith. And so, when I think about this story, I think about Elisha, and I think about that it was a change in place. God was bringing about a change in Elisha's life. He had spent many years in the field. He had spent many years plowing with the oxen. He had put his hand to the plow, but God had another plan. And God had another purpose for his life. And God was watching him. And God was waiting and setting him up at the right time, in the right scene, in the right situation. He would speak to his servant Elijah and he would say, go and anoint this man as the new prophet. And so Elijah went to him. And so when he went to him, a change was taking place. A change between the two men. Elisha would become the new prophet. And so when God is bringing about a change in people's lives, you may have to say goodbye. You may have to say goodbye to people that you love. You may have to say goodbye to places where you've been. You may have to say goodbye to things that you've been involved in. It's all part of the change. Not only will you have to say goodbye, but just be comforted in the fact that God is setting you up. That God is sovereign over your lives. And that when you have a setback, it very well may be the case that God is working in the midst. And that he is setting you up and developing you and molding you and shaping you for what he has called you for. Bless the Lord. You may have to set fire. I don't mean physically go out and buy a set of matches. But what I am saying is you may have to identify in your life as Elisha identified in his life. You may have to say, what is it that I need to say? This is now over. It's over. That part of my life is not compatible with the purposes and with the plans of God as I seek to move forward in what God has called me to. You may have to openly say to the Lord and openly say to yourself, this part of my life is over, just as plowing was over to Elisha's life. And the last point is set out. Set out to follow. Let that be your aim. Set out to follow the Lord Jesus as Elisha followed Elijah, set out to follow, set out to serve, and to say, Lord, I welcome the changes that you're bringing into my life. Although it is uncomfortable, although it can be difficult at times, I know that the changes of God are good and they are holy and that they are building me up for a plan and a purpose of serving you. And so this morning, the message is a very simple message. That in your life and in my life, there are times when God brings about a change. Don't be afraid of the change. Welcome it. Just say, Lord, I welcome your change. Don't be afraid to lower yourselves in to the pool of change. There are times where you may not have the courage to jump straight in. That's okay. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm stepping into the pool of change and I'm stepping in with you. I know that as I hold on to the rails in the pool, that I'm holding on to you. And that this change that you're bringing about in my life is good for me and it's good for the kingdom of God. So don't fear change. Don't be afraid of change. Because in order for God to bring you forward, he has to bring about a change. Change has to take place. And so therefore, all you have to do is say, Lord, I am your servant. I belong to you. You've called me for a time such as this. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God has a plan for your life. Has a plan for your life and has a plan for your life. He's going to bring about change. Welcome the change. Just say, hello, Lord, I'm your servant. I am your servant. And the change is a good change. It has to take place. Remember that God is sovereign over your life. He sees you. He knows you. He knows where you are. He knows how you are. When you sit, he sees you. When you rise, he sees you. When you walk, he sees you. When you walk, he walks with you. He's got you. There are times in our lives where we're a little bit like the woman who was having the bleeding for 12 years. And she pushed through the crowd. And she grabbed on to the cloak of Jesus. And she may have felt that she didn't have a really good grip of the Lord. And it may be like that for you. That as you walk with the Lord, and as you push through the different people and the different challenges that seem to crowd you out, you're holding on to the Lord. But the Lord wants to reassure you this morning that he has a hold of you. And that the hold that he has upon your life is much more stronger than the hold that you have upon him. And remember that story is that power went out of Jesus into the woman and she was healed. And so therefore, as you hold on to the Lord Jesus by faith, remember that he has a hold of you, but there will be power that will come down from heaven into your life and into your heart that will enable you to keep on walking by faith and to keep on loving by faith. And so this morning, as you sit in the presence of God, God is bringing about a change. Don't be afraid. As you sit in the presence of God and as you hold on to him, he's got a hold of you. Know that. Know that his spirit is with you. Never will he leave you. Never will he forsake you. He has given you his Holy Spirit to empower you, to help you, to heal you, to go with you, to go before you, to lead you, to guide you. And remember those words as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Remember, the path of life is not naturally straight. So we need one to make it straight for us, so that we can walk securely, confidently, and in the knowledge and in the power of the one that loves us. And so therefore, as you look to him this morning, he's going to make your path straight. Because he loves you. Because you belong to him. And so this morning, as we bring all of these things together, allow me to pray. Maybe, John, you would play some background music or some instrumental music. God is bringing about a change. And so as John begins to play, will you bring yourself to the Lord by faith? Will you respond to him in the things that we have spoken about this morning? Will you be just assured this morning that as you hold on to him by faith, to remember that he has his hold upon you and that he will not let you go because he loves you dearly? And so as John plays, will you take the opportunity to just engage with the Lord in the way that you know how.
Stay.